morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team at Prudential Now Realty, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I would like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are you?
Well, it actually rained this week.
It did rain this week, and I was fortunate enough. I got that starter fertilizer down before all the rain hit, so I might be in good shape. You know, they're just working its way in out there.
I like seeing the rain, too. I dragged the girlfriend out this weekend, and we trimmed up all the bushes.
Very nice. That's Mr. Tom Coyne with Sterling Bank doing the yard maintenance, not just providing the money for our clients.
I'm a man of many talents.
Very, very good. Good to have you in the studio. As always, we like to start with kind of our national real estate crazy story. Better known for his time spent in Chicago, but Michael Jordan is also a North Carolinian. And back in North Carolina, obviously he spent his childhood there, played for the Tar Heels, and now majority owner of Charlotte Bobcats. But back down there and purchasing some bank foreclosure, and not just anyone. Looks like this house that Jordan recently snagged, originally listed for $4 million in 2011, bank foreclosed on it in August of 2012. Relisted at $3.5 million. It looks like he snagged it for about $2.8 million.
Ooh.
And so, crazy gorgeous house right on the water, built in 93, 12,000 square feet, pool, private dock. I mean, it was crazy. Now, he's currently trying to sell his Chicago home and recently did an $8 million price reduction on that. So we can only imagine what that's like. So basketball mogul, but also real estate mogul.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on our local front, we always like to compare that with our local real estate news. And this week, Kennewick City Council unanimously voted to sell 2.8 acres on the corner of 395 and Hildebrand, South Kennewick out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they have sold that to a wood-fired pizza restaurant that's going to build near the South Ridge Sports Complex.
And if you were reading News Talk 870.am, you saw that story.
Yes, yes. Very, very good. Very, very good. So, yeah, they're going to build a rock wood-fired pizza and spirits restaurant out there. Chain out of Portland. They've got 11 franchises in Washington, on the west side, two in Oregon, three in Colorado, and two up in Canada. So, you know, we always like another restaurant choice out there, and that's going to go great with that sports complex.
So that's going to be the first in eastern Washington, correct?
Yes, that's what the article said. For
what does
sure.
that tell you?
I like it. So yeah, very, very good stuff happening. That South Kennewick area just continues to explode. You've seen the construction going on with the hospital out there. Obviously already attracting kind of the notice of some of these bigger franchise companies coming to the area. So we'd like to see that going on, and that property sold out there for $413,000. So big local land movement out there, and so we're glad to see that activity. So one of the things that I've been noticing, like we always talk about on the show, what's happened recently? What are the questions out there in the marketplace that people have? And then we bring that to the show as a show topic. One of the things that we've been doing is tons and tons of what I call job interviews. The last couple weeks, there's a lot of great new inventory people out there looking for agents to help them sell their house, help them purchase a new house. And so we've been doing a lot of interviewing with folks looking for those people. And a lot of times people ask me, what are the questions I should be asking our agent so that we know what to expect? And so I said, okay, that's a great show topic. Let's go over questions to be asking as you interview when you're picking your agent in the spring market for who you're going to hire. The first thing that we talked about that I go over with folks and that we get a lot is our question is, what is the average days on the market for the last 90 days? We get that question all of the time. One of the reasons you want to know this is for your plan, is for your planning. You're going to have to be paying your insurance, your mortgage payments, and you want to make sure you have an idea of what the market's doing so you can expect what you should be doing. So for right now, the market is fluctuating between 87 to 90 days on the market. So we still have a real healthy seller's market across the board. And then our average runs about 54 days on the market. So we're beating that market by about a month in general. We've always thought that if you can sell for the most amount of money in the least amount of time with the fewest hassles, that's going to put more money in your pocket. The next most important question that you should be asking when you're looking at putting your house on the market is, what is the absorption rate for homes like mine? Now, your next question might be, should I know what absorption rate is before I ask that question? Definitely. So one of the things we're going to talk about is, what is the absorption rate? The key to that is for homes like mine. So one of the things that we talk about is, if you say there's 32 basic comparables for houses like yours that have sold in the last 4 months, there's 32 active available, but how many of those have actually sold and closed? And then based upon that number, you can come up with a monthly average to tell you how many of those homes are selling. So if no new homes came on the market, how many of those homes are selling each month? That'll give you an idea, because the market could be at 87 days, average days on the market, but your specific segment and where you're at, whether that's neighborhood, city, or price point, it could be 200. And you might have to be very, very aggressive to get sold in a situation like that. Or it might be less than 1 month. There's almost no supply for homes like yours. And that would tell you, if you were thinking about waiting 2 or 3 months to put it on the market, if the absorption rate was very, very high, they were selling quickly, you might speed up your plans and get it put on the market now, sooner rather than later. So absorption rate for homes like yours make a huge, huge difference. That's definitely one of the questions that you want to be asking. Now, Tom, on the lending side, I'm sure you get the same type of stuff right now, right? In fact, I got it a couple times this week about you and your industry. So from your perspective, at the same time, people are going to be hiring a lender to help them with their mortgage for their next property. What are some of the questions when people are interviewing lenders that they need to be asking?
Well, Lance, I get calls all the time about people just want to ask some basic questions about home financing. Some people are in the process of shopping for a home, and therefore they're real active in looking for their lender. Others are just in the brainstorming phase because they aren't planning to purchase a home for several months. But either way, it's a really good idea to shop around for your mortgage, so they're naturally going to be interviewing several different lenders. So, I like to refer to it like this. You're always going to shop around for a new car or, say, furniture, so why wouldn't you shop for your mortgage? It's something that could potentially be around for 30 years. It's a very big decision to make. Who's going to finance that?
Right.
Okay, so one reason I really like to get a call when I get a call from a client who's shopping around is that they're looking to get the best deal in town. And when I hopefully get them that best deal and I earn their business, they're confident they've come to the best lender in town. But then they're going to tell all their friends and family where they got their loan, and that creates that possibility of getting a referral down the road from them. So our relationship's going to continue well after we close the loan. A huge percentage of my business comes from past client referrals.
Because you've been here for basically since dirt, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
yep.
So lifetime resident. Yep. You've been here from the beginning, so that's a great indication. You're probably not going anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Now, so when people are shopping around, they're going to tell all their friends, I called every lender in town. I went with Tom. He's great. And so that's just really going to create the referral source down the road. So I like it when people shop around myself. So I want to talk about some things that people should be asking a lender when they're looking for their mortgage. The first and most important is get a quote. A quote's going to tell you what the rates are, what are the closing costs, maybe some different mortgage insurance options, and all the other most important things that someone needs to know. So in order to get a quote, there's some basic information that you need to have available to get to the lender. The first is, how much of a home are you wanting to buy? So what's the sales price going to be? You may not know exactly what that is if you don't have a house to sell, but kind of a general idea. The next is, how much of a down payment do you want to make on this home? That will automatically narrow it down to a few different loan programs. If you have an address available, you know, give that to the lender. They're going to be able to look up property taxes, kind of fine-tune the quote, make it a little more accurate. The term of the loan you want is also important. Do you want a 15, a 20-year, a 30-year loan? And then also give the loan officer an idea of what your credit's like. Most people have a pretty good idea of what their credit history is. This is going to also help pick the right program to quote someone right off the bat. So these are the things that help the loan officer determine what is the best program. But don't stop there. Let's say you just get one quote. You should know that there's many different loan programs and different ways of structuring loans. So maybe ask the loan officer, how come I didn't get any other quotes? What are some other options that are available that you didn't present to me? They'll then hopefully be able to give you the pros and cons of the other quotes they didn't send you.
That's a great way to look at it. I like that question, and that's a great one, I think, to present to people. What are some of the other options you didn't show me?
Yeah.
Because there's going to be other programs. You might have just picked what you thought was the best one for them, or somebody might have pushed them to what they thought was the best. But not have known really what the other options would be.
Yeah, and there's definitely other options out there. And, you know, everyone's different, but when I'm shopping around for something or someone gives me advice, I don't want to just hear the advice. I want to hear the process that got them to that recommendation. So more the why than the what.
Gotcha. That makes sense. I like that a lot. What are some of the other options that we did not go over for sure? That makes a lot of sense. Great, great, great questions. We went over a couple of the questions you should be asking your realtor as you're shopping this spring, potentially looking to put your house on the market. I want to thank my clients that drilled us the last 2 weeks with these questions, fine-tuned our skills. We had some great interviews. I was actually very impressed with some of our clients' questions, and so I wrote some of those down and said, this is going to make a great radio show topic. Very well-educated listeners, probably from the radio show. So I like them holding us accountable to those standards. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk with Tom about a few more questions you should be asking your lender as you're searching for the mortgage, and three or four more questions you want to be asking your real estate professional.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about arming our listeners with the questions that they need to be asking their professionals as they go through a real estate transaction. It's that time of year. It's interview time of year, spring market, considering putting your house on the market. We want to be in the running for that job. We would love that interview. And so we've been helping go through what are some of the questions, how do we answer those questions, and what does that look like. Before the break, we were talking with Tom about questions to ask your lender. He got through kind of the biggest one. Everybody's always asking rate, but it's not just rate. There's a lot of information you have to provide that he went through. So after that question, what's the next important question they need to ask their lender?
Well, the second question someone can ask is, how long is it taking the lender to close loans? If you need to close in 3 weeks and the lender is taking 45 to 60 or 90 days to close loans, they may not be a good fit for you. I get people all the time that have been working on a refinance for 60 days with XYZ lender. Don't want to name any names, of course. But they call me up and they're completely frustrated and the loan's not closed when it should. And they come to us and we turn around and close it in 3 weeks. Another purchase we just got from another lender. There were some things that happened they weren't happy with, and it was a new construction, really anxious to get in the house. We closed that purchase from start to finish in 13 days.
Wow, that's fantastic.
So, typical turn time is 30, but if we need to push it through faster, you can. So definitely ask the lender, how long is it taking you to realistically close loans?
And I like how you specified refinance versus purchase, narrowing that down with your question. How long is it taking you to close refinances?
Yeah, we will absolutely put priority on a purchase. And the reason is because there's contracts, there's deadlines we have to meet. There's so many different parties in a transaction. On a refi, the person's already in the home. So all we're doing is trying to save them some money. So we will put the priority on the purchase, but we're still going to close the refi in a reasonable amount of time.
Fantastic. Great question.
So third question, and we hear this a lot, is what do you do with the loan after it's closed? Do you sell it to another lender? Who am I going to be making my payments to? Most people don't like knowing or not knowing who they're going to make their payments to. So a lot of the neighborhood banks that you walk in the front door, you'll assume you're going to make your payments to them, but that's not always the case. Sterling has a servicer that handles all of our payments. It's a designated third party. That's where all of our payments get made to for every one of our different loan programs. But clients can also make their payments right in any one of our Sterling branches. So a lot of people just walk in their bank, like I said, or their local credit union, and they don't realize that getting a loan there doesn't mean they're necessarily going to be making their payments directly to them.
That makes a lot, yeah. I mean, you would expect that if you were going there and walking in the door, but sometimes those are sold.
Yep, exactly. Now, when the loan sells, they can't change the terms of the loan or any of the details of the loan, but it is going to affect where the payments are made to.
Gotcha.
So those are the three most important questions. So we went over, get a quote, how long is it taking to close loans, and then what happens to my loan after it's done? Definitely the most important three. But, you know, most of the time when people are talking with a loan officer, they really want to feel a sense of trust and security with the person they're dealing with. There's a lot of bad press, Lance, as you know, over the last few years about lenders. And people just want to know that they're dealing with someone they feel comfortable with and someone who's going to take care of them. So if you aren't having that feeling with your loan officer, move on to the next one. There's definitely someone out there who will take care of you. If you want to go really above and beyond while shopping for your mortgage, call up one of the title companies and ask for the closed loan report on a month-to-month basis. If everyone is going to one or two different lenders in town, there's probably a reason for that.
Right, yeah.
Sterling Bank, Lance, as you know, is always one or two in Benton and Franklin counties for our single office.
Oh, that's fantastic. Good to know. Very, very good information. Great question so that the consumers are armed with that information. Back on the real estate side, a lot of great stuff. There is a lot of questions that you could ask many times during my interview with a client. A lot of times I will leave them with our question list so they can ask the other agents those same questions. One of the important questions when you're considering talking with an agent is, what was the percentage of homes where you represented the seller versus the buyer? Because it is a very different skill set. The average agent, if we look at the averages, represents buyers 80% of the time and sellers only 20% of the time. This means that the average agent has listed and sold very few homes. So when you're looking on the sell side for a specific set of criteria, it takes different tools, different investments, large investments in different websites. It's very different when you go from the sell side to the buy side. So you might hear, oh, we had this great agent. We bought our house with this agent, and it was fantastic. And then you go to talk to them about selling a house. It's good to know how many actual homes have they sold. Where they listed and sold the house. That number could be shocking. So you definitely want to talk. There's a reason why on our team we've split up how we handle a lot of that. We have specific buyer agents that are fantastic at helping buyers buy homes. Many times they're way better at it than I am. And so I'll put somebody, if I know somebody needs a new construction buy and needs an expert on that, I've got somebody on my team that's better at that than I am, and I can put them with that individual, make sure they get the best representation possible. So that's one of the big things. What's even scarier is if they don't know exactly what that percentage is. Every transaction we have, we enter into a spreadsheet. It calculates the numbers for us. We know on a daily basis what that percentage is. And so I would be even more scared if they didn't know what that number was in a very quick manner. So that is a great, great question to ask. Another one that's just huge, right on our list that comes in next. We get this all the time on our website, on our Facebook page. Is we are considering selling, what are the basic fees so we can calculate our net price? A lot of times, first-time home buyers have been in the house a couple of years, and they've never had to sell before. I mean, it's not an event that you want to do frequently. because it can be stressful. It can be a pain. So a lot of people haven't done that, and they're looking for a breakdown of what those fees are. One of the things that we go over is we have a great spreadsheet called a net sheet where we plug in an estimated sales price, and we go through what those fees are. The basic ones that they're going to see on there is they're going to see title insurance. We've talked with experts about title insurance. They are going to see an escrow and closing fee for collecting all of that paperwork to get it together. They're going to see reconveyance transaction fees to handle recording of those deeds. Then they're going to have the big one. Nobody likes it. Everybody complains about it. And that is real estate excise tax. In general, that runs, it's different from county to city, but in general in our area, that runs about 1.8%, rounded up a little bit. And so when you take all of this and lump it together, I tell people that over and above your negotiated commissions with your agent, you're going to be looking about an additional 2.5%. So whatever your commission rate is that you're paying your agent, adding 2.5% to that will generally give you a rough idea where you're going to be at.
Now, Lance, 2.5%, that's based off the sales price, right?
That's based off of the sales price, exactly. Thank you for clarifying that. So based off of the sales price, that's roughly what those costs. And that's a pretty accurate number. It usually comes out very, very close to that. The last question that we have for people and what you should ask your agent for is, what does your support network look like? I mean, things happen. You have buyers. You're out on appointments. You're advertising people's houses by doing this radio show, for instance. And so if you're doing those activities, what happens when a contract comes in or you need some sort of backup? Do you have a support network? Do you have a team? Do you have an assistant in place? How does that work if you, in this whole realm of, I know some people have had it, the crud and the flu, what's going to happen if somebody goes down to come in there and help finish your transaction flawlessly? So that's one of the things that we really shine at. We have a great support network. We've got 5 licensed agents on our team that step in at a moment's notice and can really help out. And so it makes a big, big difference. Now, I know, too, on the lending side, that could be the same question for you. I mean, there's a lot of times I get my questions from your support network when you're not available.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I have an assistant. We have 6 different processors. We have our underwriters. And then, of course, a lot of other LOs in the office that can help out if need be.
So I know you're in that same type of setup, and we appreciate that. When we call in and one of our clients has a loan question and you're meeting with the client, your processors are just fantastic about giving us those answers when you can.
Yeah, absolutely. They're great.
Most importantly, though, we have property to sell. And we have some amazing new property. I've just been the last 3 weeks just hounding out how great our inventory is right now. So we are going to start with a little bit of a different one this week. We don't see too many of these, but we have a 1/3-acre industrial lot over in Pasco, right in King City there. Most of those lots are an acre larger, start between 75 and 80,000. Maybe that price point's a little high for you to have a little shop over there, a small business. But we've got a 1/3-acre lot over there coming in at $25,000. So fantastic little lot. You could put a great little shop up on this. And so that is over off of St. Helens and Commercial is the cross street. You've got city sewer there, city water. Great, great opportunity if you're looking for that location. You're running a small business. You're getting hassled about all your trucks being out in front of your house. The neighbors are mad at you. Let's take a look at putting together a package on a little lot like that. So that came across our desk. Definitely thought that should be in the pick 3. Pick number 2 that I have. This property is fantastic. We're talking South Richland, White Bluff School District, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 2,000 square foot, beautiful stucco home with a 3-car garage, and the price point on this is coming in at $267,900. Literally walking distance to the school, 3 houses from the playground. Just a fantastic South Richland location next to all the development and what's going on out there. 1-level home. You've got the separate formal dining room. I just can't say enough. This place is fantastic. So if you've been looking around, that square footage, that area of town, this is 3595 Nottingham. Fantastic, fantastic property. Pick number three this week. It was hard to narrow it down because we had more than three. Pick number three this week is out in Rancho Riata. This was a house that was built in 2000, one-owner home, almost 3,000 square feet, four-bedroom, three-bath, with a bonus room, 2913 Bryan Lane out there in Rancho Riata. And this thing is coming in at less than $100 a square foot, $288,500. Very difficult to find a house built 2000 or newer that large for under $100 a square foot in that neighborhood on a bigger lot. So 2913 Bryan Lane, fantastic. And I've got three more that I'm going to have to roll over to next week. Amazing inventory right now. Numbers were in for February. 170 homes sold in February. Almost exactly the same numbers sold over last year, 2012. As everybody knows from the show, we had an amazing start, a huge January. Our market is accelerating into the spring market earlier than normal. So we're busy. Homes are going on the market. Tom's doing loans. And we'd love to be part of that team that you interview. And so, as always, if you don't catch us this week, we'll be right back here next weekend, Saturday morning, same time. But before I go, I know people want to interview you, Tom. What's the number?
430-1305, or you can visit me on my web at TomCoinHomeLoans.com.
All right, fantastic. We'll see everybody next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.